Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Headed down to the neon lights. It's where I want to be because I'm just trying to make it.
You're listening to the Diamonds in the Rough podcast.
I'm just trying to make it.
Powered by Prospects Live.
Welcome back, everyone, to Diamonds in the Rough. Sadly, it's just me today. I'm all you got. I know. It's not what you wanted to hear, but it's all you got. So you're going to have to deal with it. Listen, we're excited for another show, and this one, we got a great one for you. It's been a long time coming. We've been after him, and we finally, like we always promise, we will prevail. And we did. We have a guy who has, frankly, been a ghost for the last year, really, in Kumar Rocker. Anybody who knows anything about baseball knows who this guy is. I don't have to run through your story with him. But just so if you haven't heard, just know this is his third go-around in the draft. He should have been drafted twice already. He will get drafted Monday night. We're all pumped for him. Looking forward to that. He deserves every second of it. I mean, the guy has put in the work. I've known him for a really long time. He's a close friend of mine. He's not just some guy with a big arm. I promise you. I promise you that. He has worked for it. He has earned it. And I can't wait to hear him have his name called. I think that that's just going to be a huge relief off his shoulders to kind of put all the past behind him. So, awesome interview. Obviously, we'll let you hear most of it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But before we get started, as you can see, I'm back in the studio. It was a long 10 days in the days in. The walls started closing in a little bit. I started imagining some bugs crawling around. But it was not. The Days In was great. Had SEC Network. I got to watch the dogs take over on SEC. So I was good with it. But it's always nice to be back in this beautiful studio. I just feel at home. I feel like I'm back. And as you can see, if you're not watching on YouTube, just take my word for it. We have a new flag in the studio. And it's from our folks at Pitchers Only Apparel. These people know what they're doing. They sent us a flag for the studio. And like I said last week, if you're a pitcher in college, if you're in high school in your room and you don't have this flag hung up on your wall, you don't actually pitch. I mean, it says K season. It's always K season. You wake up in August, it's K season. First pitch in February, it's K season. Hang this up in your dorm room. And the sick, beautiful July 4th short sleeve hoodie. Everyone here knows I love short sleeve hoodies. I wear them all year long. This one is special. It feels so good. Go on their website and check this stuff out and use code DNR10 to get 10% off all your purchases. Shout us out when you do. Post a picture with it. These guys know what they're doing. Follow them on social, everything else. These guys are awesome. Pictures only. Use code DNR10. But a lot of things I want to talk about before we get to Kumar. And like I said, I'm by myself. Shook is on a much-needed vacation. He's been working hard for us. So he's off today. Schnelly is playing a game currently, right now. He tried to hop on the interview last night. He's on the road, so you kind of got to get what you get. And he was at the La Quinta, so naturally, he got what he got. No further explanation there. He got booted off a couple times. But I want to start off talking, and we kind of hit on it already, talking about Kumar. But the MLB draft is on Monday. Monday through Wednesday, it's an awesome event. Like, if you're a baseball fan and you haven't been fully invested in the draft over the years, then I encourage you to do it because it's pretty cool to be able to watch guys that you follow from draft day move up through the system and keep track of them. I know I did when I was younger. It was really cool and I get the blowback on it, like, oh, why would I care about this draft when I won't see these guys for another 5 years? Well, to me, that's kind of the fun of it, and that's coming from a player who has to go through it. It's a cool experience, and that's why, like, you can say what you want, but baseball is the hardest sport. There's no other sport where it takes this long to get to the top. Like, you, in football, basketball, out of college, you get taken, you're in. Like, there's no build-up. You don't see that in baseball. Nobody gets drafted to go straight to the show unless you're Garrett Crochet. Those are very, very rare cases. Just think about it. I mean, Monday night, you have a lot of guys' dreams come true. Like, it's what we've worked on as players for our whole life. And you're going to get to follow them all the way through. I personally think that's really cool. You get to see them go from one step to another. You get to see big growths in their career. So I encourage you to start following along with it. And if you need a place to start, our people at Prospects Live do a heck of a job. Joe and all those guys, they put a lot of work into the draft all year. They're scouting college guys. They're scouting high school guys. We got people in the Cape scouting. Like, this is a full-time job for these guys, and they do a heck of a job with it. So just check out our YouTube page. They have a draft on there with a bunch of different people from all over Twitter. They brought in fans of other teams, and they did a really good job with the draft. They just went down through it, talked about the players, everything on it. So check out our YouTube. Go check that out. And while you're there, subscribe to our page. Don't be afraid to do that. But yeah, MLB draft, like I said, it's awesome. And after you listen to this interview with Kumar, you'll have a good reason to watch it. Even if you don't have a loyal fan tie to some team, you can pull for Kumar because he's that type of dude. Very, very easy to pull for. Next thing I want to talk about, and this, as you guys know, is something that I feel very strongly about personally. I think it is. There's a lot of talk about what's ruining the game. To me personally, this is one of the things that is really ruining it. All-star voting. The rosters were announced. And listen, I understand there's limited spots. There's going to be people that get snubbed every single year. And I completely, completely understand that. But the fan voting is bad for the game. And I get, like, don't come at me talking about, well, it's good business. They're tying in the fans. They're trying to grow the game. I understand that. I understand that there's business in it. It gets fans involved, and they end up making more money because the fans are involved. I'm not making that money. You're not making that money. So I don't want to talk about it. I don't care about that money. What I care about is the players making money. And you have guys like Yordan Álvarez, who is the best hitter in baseball this year. He's the best hitter in baseball. And he's not going to start the All-Star game. Because we voted in Shohei Ohtani, who, listen, the most impressive baseball player of our lifetime. What he's doing is incredible. Even the hardest of hearts who swear he's overrated can admit that. He's not overrated. He's unbelievable. But, listen, he was going to get in. He was going to pitch. He was going to get in. And even if he wasn't going to get in, you still take the best player at that position. Yordan Álvarez was the best DH in the league this entire year. He's got a 1. OPS. He's hit, I'm not going to say the numbers. I don't have it pulled up, but it's 20-something bombs. He's hit over 300. He is mashing, and he's not going to start the All-Star game. And you might think, oh, well, what does it really matter? He's still going. No. He'll be in arbitration hearing in a couple of years because he's going to set a number. He's going to set, you know, $12 million number. The Astros are going to set a $10 million number, and they're going to go to court over it. And you know one of the things that the Astros are going to bring up in that court case with him sitting across the room, they're going to say, all-star starters make this $12 million. You've never been an all-star starter. And you know why? It's because of fan voting is going to cost him a couple million dollars. That's why I don't like it. That's why it has to stop. Fans can vote the reserves. Fans can vote, you know, the extras. Starters should be voted on by the teams and by the managers. We can't keep having stuff like that. Ty France, he's an all-star. Zach Wheeler, all-star. Like, there's so many guys. Carlos Rondon luckily got in. That was outrageous. But number one, congrats to the guys who did make the all-star team because everyone that made it is deserving. But you got to find a spot for some of these guys. Shohei Ohtani, like I said, he's an all-star. He will be there every year he plays. He was going to be there. And Yordan Álvarez was a better hitter than everyone, not just him, everyone in the league. And he's not starting the all-star game. That's why it's bad. But to go from dark to light, the home run derby field looks sick. Obviously, it's headlined by Albert Pujols, who, you know, I've seen some different comments on it throughout Twitter, and I get it, but I'm telling you, the Joker's going to hit some bombs. And you can come at me if he doesn't, if he swings and misses or if he rolls over every ball. The dude's going to hit some bombs. Like, you go watch some of the oldest baseball players. You put a bat in George Brett's hands right now, and he's going to go yard MVP. Like, if you've never watched a big leaguer tank BP, I encourage you to do that. It is impressive. It is easy juice. And Albert Pujols still has that easy juice, don't matter how old he is. He can hit a home run in any ballpark when he's 60 MVP. I promise. So, he's going to be fine. I'm really looking forward to Ronald Acuna. He's just one of those guys who he's must-see TV anytime he's on it. Obviously, Pete Alonso, I mean, he hit a million last year. He's going to do it again. Juan Soto, Schwarber, like this field is elite, and it hasn't even all been announced yet. That's just the first five or six. Like, you throw in a couple other guys there, like a Stanton or something, this might be the best home run derby we've ever had. The switch from 10 outs to the head-to-head, best move MLB baseball has ever made. The home run derby was dead, and that has completely turned it around. I'm locked in. I used to not be. Millions of people locked in everywhere. It's an awesome format. So I'm really looking forward to that. All-Star Weekend's fun. Like, it's supposed to be fun. Have a fun home run derby. Have a fun All-Star game. You know, that's the Futures game. We got a lot of our guys going to the Futures game. Excited for them and very deserving. So I don't want to leave anybody off, so I'm not going to say everybody's name. But congrats to all the DNR guys going to the Futures game. A lot of DNR guys going to be in the league here soon. They already are. Bobby's going crazy. Who else we got up there? Going blank. Obviously, Wainwright's Dylan. But, yeah, check out the Futures game. Check out the Home Run Derby. It's going to be a really fun weekend with all of that. Before we get over to Kumar, I want to talk about our friends at TurtleBox. Y'all know about TurtleBox. You know how I feel. You know how you should feel. It's the best speaker in the game. This thing looks cool. It is completely waterproof. It's loud. It's durable. It took me a while to get one, but now that I have it, I literally take it everywhere. I throw it in the back of the golf cart. I put it outside when I'm shooting basketball. I take it fishing. If I'm going on a boat, I throw it on a boat. It is perfect for everything you're going to do, outside, inside, whatever. You need one of these. The colors are sick. Everything about it is what you want in a speaker. So go on their website right now. Get you a couple because they pair together. And use code DNR to get $30 off each speaker. You will not regret it, I promise. I promise. It may seem daunting. You're like, oh, I don't want to spend that money on a speaker. There's a reason they're priced like that. There's a reason. Get what you pay for. Don't listen. You buy four $100 speakers over the course of 5 years, you're spending the same as one TurtleBox, which is going to last you more than 5 years. That's a guarantee. DNR for $30 off of all TurtleBox. Go on there. Get it done. We are approaching MLB trade season. And man, I have seen some absolute stinkers on Twitter. The worst tool anyone ever gave the common fan was the trade machine in all sports. I'm a diehard sports fan all across. And when it comes trade season, scrolling through Twitter is vomit worthy. I saw one. I didn't even look and see who wrote it. I meant no disrespect. Oh, I did mean disrespect, but not personally disrespect. But I saw one guy had. It was a trade between the Yankees and Brewers, and it was Aaron Judge straight up for Josh Hader. Come on, come on. Like that, someone was assigned in a cubicle. Hey, please write a story on a trade the Brewers can make. And that's the first thing that came to mind. There's just no way this guy had any common knowledge of baseball to write that, print it, publish it. Aaron Judge for Josh Hader. Come on. We got to be better. I've seen some other bad ones too. Yeah, I would tell every fan, just relax. Like, I didn't know I was getting traded. Until I saw it on Twitter. Like, no one knows what's going to happen. Don't listen to your buddy Rick that just went on the trade machine and posted this thing. Nobody has that good of sources. Just let it all play out. I mean, trades are going to happen. It's part of the game. It's what makes baseball fun. But just stay off the trade machine if I were you. So other than that, man, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Y'all have been awesome for this whole baseball season. We really appreciate it. We don't thank you guys enough, but it is the reason we do it. It's a lot of fun. We started it for y'all, and we're going to keep doing it for y'all. If you like what we're doing, please follow us on Twitter. That's where most of our content comes out of. We also have a TikTok and Instagram, but Twitter is going to be your main source. If you don't mind subscribing to the podcast as well on Apple, that would be great. Leave us a review. Tell us we're great. Tell us we suck. Whatever it is, just tell us something. And the last thing you have to do, and I mean you have to do this, is you have to go check out Hit Factory. Sorry, I went mind blank. Hit Factory Athletics is what you need. And I got a shirt on under this, so just hold on. Boom. One of my Hit Factory shirts they sent me. I don't know if you can see it. It's a picture screaming out some profanity, but they have some other great shirts. They sent me one that I wore last week that I love. I'll be wearing that often. Go check out their website. They got on-field stuff. They got off-field stuff. They got hoodies. They got elbow guards. Like, they got everything that you want. It's the perfect place to get a baseball player a Christmas gift. So go check them out, their website. Go follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Instagram. They're constantly putting out content. It's not just their merch content. It's clips, breakdowns, all things baseball. Make sure to check them out. Really good folks. And use code DNR. 10 when you do it for 10% off. Yes, it's the same code, DNR10 for 10% off. And those guys at Hit Factory are going to hook you up. Y'all know what we say around here. Stay sparkly, have a great week, and go Dogs.
All right, today we welcome on a guy who's been a ghost. He's been missing for about a year. I've been on him trying to get him to come on, and you know, he goes to Indy Ball, does, you know, 1-2 ERA or whatever, and texts me. He's like, all right, I'm ready to roll. So he's ready to make his media appearances. Kumar Rocker, what's going on, brother?
Man, nothing, dude. Hanging out, man. I had to be on the Diamond in the Rough, baby.
Yeah, you had to. It was funny, dude. Like, I don't know where all these rumors started. Like you know how people in baseball are. But this whole time you've been gone, I literally had a full-fledged argument with somebody the other day who was telling me you had Tommy John. I was like, no, he did not. And they were like, yeah, I swear he did. I'm like, dude, I saw him last week. He did not have TJ. I don't know what you're talking about. Where did that start? Do you even know?
Bro, I remember when we were in LA, I came out one time and a kid looked at me and was like, hey, man, sorry about your elbow. I said, what, dog? I was like, you know what? Don't worry about it.
I saw where I forget who it was, Passner or whatever, finally tweeted about that, where you have the – I don't know what it was, like a bone spur shaved off your shoulder or something. Right. Everybody ran with it like it was TJ. Dude. But the funny story about that. So I was actually having TJ, and I'm sitting in El Trash's office in LA, me and my mom, and Kumar texts me. He's like, where are you at? I'm like, well, I'm about to get TJ. He's like, yeah, I'm across the hall. And so, of course, then I'm like, oh, no, he's getting TJ too. So I walk over there, and you're like, nah, just a shoulder shave or whatever. But literally across the hall from me, I had no idea he was there. And then, so we both have surgery, and we're both in slings. And all I wanted to do was just lay at the hotel. I was gassed up. I was off a perk. And the moms want to go out and see LA. So me and Kumar are walking around the beach with slings. And this one douchebag, he says, hey, can I get a labrum? And we both just kind of looked at him like, dude,
too soon.
Swing on right now.
Right, way too soon.
Dude, yeah, so we had a labrum.
The ironic part about that, Cole, is I remember seeing on Twitter when you threw your first bullpen was my first start. I was like, dang, things line up weird, man.
Yeah.
Things line up weird.
Yeah, I was glad that your mom had a car, though, because I was going to have to walk back from the doctor's office to the hotel, and I was gone.
Yeah.
I don't even remember getting in the car. There's no way my mom, if I'd have started following, my mom would have had no chance. I'd have been down.
Dude, waiting for a procedure in the doctor's room is terrifying.
Terrible.
Oh, the worst.
Golly.
That is scary, actually. The nurses were so nice, though, so they made it like a little bit better.
They were sweethearts, man.
Yeah, that was a scare.
They act like there's a chance you're going to die. Like, with all the stuff they're going through, like, they send 35 people to talk to you and walk you through everything. And you're just like, am I going to be okay at the end of this?
Right. How many times have y'all done this?
Yeah. One of the funniest parts of surgery is when you wake up and you look around and you've got a stop sign on your other arm. A little tattoo of a stop sign.
Not this one.
If I woke up with left arm TJ, I'm walking out of there with bags of money. Bags. I'll retire right now. If that ever happened. I saw a kid in the shower the other day with a stop sign on his arms. I was like, how'd surgery go? that's like a staple of surgery, the stop sign. Speaking of injuries, how's everything feeling? Clearly it looked good.
Bro, yeah, it feels good, man. A lot more freedom in the shoulder. Rocking around in there, letting it go now, man. Took a while to get the cuffs off a little bit, just get your mind right mentally, but it was a nice little stoppage of baseball too, man. It's always good to take a year off.
Well, that's what you said, even like right after you had it. It was just like, it feels just like free. It was like you got a rock out of your shoe or something.
Exactly. That's a perfect way to put it, man.
Yeah, that's nice. So, was it something that like you felt for a while and it was just a time where you could do it? Like, I can get this taken out.
Yeah, it was super like voluntary just to get it done.
Right.
Had the time to do it. So,
yeah. It's kind of like one of those things where I heard I think Chanel, you mentioned this, or one of the hitting coaches said if they could just take out the hitter's hamate, they would do it. Just right. Every hitter get their hamate removed so it never gets hurt.
Right. The thing that flipped in it, bro, is actually something that I'd lose when I turned 30, but it flipped when I was 22.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, let's take it back. Obviously, me and you have known each other for a while, and Chanel, too. We all played in the same things growing up. But I want to take it back to where we pitched against each other in high school. That was one of the wildest high school games I've ever been to in my life.
Dude, you talk about the wildest. I'll never forget that ump. I'm sorry. I don't blame you.
Dude, I'll tell people to tell me, man. The worst umpire I've ever I remember the first pitch of the game I threw, Dom was hitting. And I threw it in there, and I'm waiting for the ball back. I never heard a strike call. I was like, wait, what? And so I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do here. Like, I'm going to have to either get them swinging or something. Luckily, y'all were swinging. I went right back to my dugout, and I said, listen, if it ain't right there, just take it. Just take it. Like, it's not going to be a strike. I'm telling you, this guy's crazy. You
didn't buy a strike that game, dude.
It was awful.
It should have been a rule with you two throwing against each other that they had to have, like,
if the I best was behind the plate, possible. My zone would have been a mile wide. I'd have been ringing up everybody. What kind of guy doesn't want to punch out tickets in a game like that?
And there were probably a billion, literally 1 billion scouts there.
It was a packed house, dude.
Our place is in like a cow pasture, too.
Yeah. Heritage High School? They don't know how to talk some shit, too, son. Over there.
So my freshman year, they started doing, or sophomore year, I guess, when we hosted the first time, they'll do it during school. So then they charge kids, you can pay $6 and you get out of school and you can come sit in the stands. And so, of course, every student in the school is going to pay $6, yes, like, you know, an hour of school. Yeah. And, it's always just packed out.
Oh, after it.
Yeah, it's kind of sick. But, that game was fun. There's the whole buildup and everything. I remember when I was walking out.
During school?
We would play the first game. It's a big Georgia playoff
gig.
Yeah, you don't know nothing about that.
That's a Georgia baseball, baby.
We
had like four guys off Team USA in our side of the bracket. So
that's wild.
That's how loaded it was. Because Siegler just rocked my world the next round. That man tore me a new one. Georgia.
We went high school, Cole, and we did. We do USA too.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we did all the Under Armour, PG, and stuff. And then obviously, we kind of knew each other through Matt, our agent.
Dude, did you know? You know, I was roommates with Chanel at PG.
Yeah. Oh, were you really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple of gangsters in the room, bro.
Yeah. I remember at the time because like I went into PG National like really low and like I like kind of was probably one of the last guys picked. Honestly, like I just had a really good PG National and I remember like I mean Kumar was the number one player in my class forever. And I was the first one in the room, and I like looked over to see who my roommate was, and I was like starstruck for a shot.
Well, dude, like it's one thing to be starstruck, but then you see Kumar, and he is just huge. Like he actually It's not like one of those stars you see and you're like, oh, this is it. Like, he walks in, you're like, oh.
Yeah, I'm like, freaking 6'1", 170. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I remember when I was at Georgia and we were about to play y'all, and I was telling, I'm telling y'all, on that mound, he's going to look like he's pulling it from heaven. He's huge. So, yeah, you get starstruck, and then obviously you're intimidated physically. So you're automatically the beta when you walk in there, Schnell. You got to scrap and claw to get on an even playing field.
Yeah,
were we on the same team?
Yeah, we were.
Okay.
You were on the East, Schnell.
Yeah, I was on your team too. We got there's a picture of all. My mom found a picture of like all of us with the nameplates on our jerseys, all standing there.
Because we had the good jerseys that year, dude.
Yeah, those are sick.
What you call it? You remember when the Trouts came out, the first ones, or was it the Hirachi Fireworks? That was the year before us. Those were tough, man.
Yeah, they swagged us out. I thought Under Armour still swagged us out more. I'll be honest. Yeah,
Under Armour went hard, and they had the smoothie bar at night,
dude. Yeah, well, the player lounge was elite. Like, it was nasty. Chanel's La Quinta Wi-Fi is bugging out on him. It's frozen. Yeah, so he might be in and out. But anyway, so Chanel kind of hit on it. Like, you were the kind of the face of our class for years. So when you get we go through that whole circuit or whatever, like you kind of lived up to it. Like you pitched really well pretty much everywhere you were at. Everything went good. You had a good high school season, and the draft comes, and like, I know, because we talked about it, like you valued college a lot. Like, you set your number very high, valued yourself very high. And we talked that night after neither of us got picked. There was still a chip on our shoulder there. Like, even when we both kind of in our heart wanted to go to college, you still felt it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
100%.
Like, it was just one of those things where. It was
hard turning that down, dude, honestly. Then
so hard.
Yeah, going to school. And my biggest thing was like, dang, my parents are going to have to pay for me for another 3-4 years. That was the thing that pissed me off a little bit. But,
yeah.
Dude, hey, man, college was – it's a movie, man. It's amazing. It's getting better than college.
College baseball is – it was some of the most fun baseball I've ever played.
Once you're in it, there's no way out.
No, dude, it's just a different level. Like, there's just so much on every pitch. Like, that was so different about minor leagues for me. I don't want to say it was easy, but it was just like, I guess, less stressful. It was almost just like, I'm going out there, like, I know I'm going 5. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm going 5. I'm getting my pitch count. In college, dude, like, that pressure was on you quick.
What? You could get shelled in front of the home crowd or the away crowd. It could just go plays.
Yeah, and for guys like us who came in with a big name, like, you came into college, everybody knew who you were. Like, you're expected to win that starter's job as soon as you got there. Uh-huh. I did not. I got there and got shelled. But I needed that because, like, that I grew more when I got to college than I've ever had in my entire life.
Easily, dude. I think my first start was an inning in and out, 1.1. 5 earned, dude. TCU scared the living heck out of me. Biggest people I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I've told Chanel here before, like, I've always admired people who do come out of high school into this scenario, because struggling like I struggled in college here would have been a whole lot tougher than when I was at college, where people legitimately wanted me to do well. Like, even after you got roughed up against TCU, like, your coaches, your teammates, your fans, like, everybody still wanted you to do well. Totally. Like, here, it's kind of like, who cares? Like, if he sucks, he sucks, you know?
Yes, 100%. It's very independent, dude.
Yeah.
Totally different.
So, like, we just touched on it, but, like, what do you think is the biggest thing you learned in college?
How to take the ball and work and then manage off time, for sure. I guess going to class was the biggest thing. Just like, hey, you're not just a baseball player, man. You're a student, too. Embrace the student body a little bit. I think that was a huge part of it, man. How just other people operate, honestly, just not jocks in sports, et cetera.
Yeah, you know? It's like your first time in the real world, especially at a university like that. Yeah, you see so many things. Like, I know you grew up a couple different places, but in Athens, I mean, there's a certain type of people in Athens. Like, you know, it's kind of the small town vibe and kind of country, kind of laid back. And then you go somewhere like Nashville, it's probably a completely different culture than you've been used to.
How did you like UGA, bro?
I loved it. I mean, I grew up on that campus, so I knew it pretty well, and it's always where I wanted to go. So, I mean, it was, like I said, it was the best 2 years I've had playing ball. Like, obviously we were good. We had good teams, competitive. So it just made it that much better. You meet your closest friends in college.
For sure. Guys at your wedding, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. You just spend so much time. Like it's not just at the baseball field. Like everybody thinks you spend all this time at the baseball field. That's why you get close. You eat together, you go to class together, you live together. Everything you do is with the guys on your team.
Exactly.
And I loved it. I mean, I thought the aspect of it was awesome. I thought you learn a lot with just, you know, building relationships, building, like you said, connecting with the student body and building networks. Like that's what I would tell if I had a kid right now who's going to college. That's what I would tell him. I was like, just focus on building relationships in college. Like, I really don't care what your grades are. They need to stay up. But the biggest thing you're going to take out of this school is the people you meet.
Yeah, dude. And Vanderbilt was interesting because you go on campus, you're a freshman, you're a dude. They put you in co-ed dorms on a freshman campus with I use the term NARPs, but just normal students. And you're just socializing every day in the hallway, in the common area and stuff like that, dude. That was probably the coolest part. That was awesome.
What? So, like, baseball players compared to football players, how were y'all treated, like, on the student body? Everybody know who y'all were, or was it?
Yeah, it was a little bit flipped in how I hear everyone else talk about college, where our football team is at. But we were the Vandy boys, and people treat us like it. So it was cool to be in that position.
Yeah. So, like, you're going downtown in Nashville, like, you had a lot of people recognize you and stuff.
Yeah, definitely got to be careful downtown for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Nashville is a real downtown. It's not a college. Yeah, man. That's real. Yeah, that's a different beast for sure.
Yeah.
But obviously you just have a great career at Vanderbilt, and you put up some insane performances. Most notably the no hitter, and you pitched well in the College World Series. Like what was the most, when you think back on your career, like what is the one that sticks out the most?
The no-hitter was it was such a blur, dude. Like, that adrenaline rush will erase things from your mind. So I don't remember that much, but I remember going into the World Series and being there with, like, that older team, bro, because we had some real captains. We had six, seven dudes that were established, 400 ABs, and they worked like big leaguers, dude. Poised at the plate, poised in their workouts. Coach treated us like a big league team. So just being in that spot as a freshman and just being, like, the little guy on the bench and watching them play, that was probably the best part, bro. And, bro, we had J.J. Blade, Austin Martin. J.J. Blade, that ball would be halfway to the home plate. You'd be like, that's gone.
He had an unbelievable year.
He is different, man. He is different.
Y'all's lineup, like you said, was just old and they were experienced. That was my favorite series in college when y'all came to our place, because that was just a battle. Like, every pitch of that series was a battle.
Yeah, dude. And you and Hancock, and then Losey, man. I think y'all were the only staff at the time, I want to say, in college, dude, that was probably 95 plus.
Well, I thought our bullpen was head and shoulders better than everybody until y'all came in. And, like, Fisher came out, Tyler came out. Like, it was just, like, arm on arm for nine innings. And you just don't see that very often in college. Like, you see it on Friday night. But we did it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We, like, toe-to-toe, everything. I still think that we were the two best teams in the country. Mississippi State mixed in there. We ran into a buzzsaw, but that was fun time. SEC series, people don't understand, like, they are a grind. It don't matter which team you're playing.
Anything can happen each day where you're just hoping for a win, showing up to the park.
Just good ball players. Yeah, that's the old saying. Win the series at home, don't get swept on the road.
Yep.
Can't get swept on the road. And it's tough. You're down 2-0 on Sunday, you're like, we got to figure something out.
And then the poor freshman on Sunday is going.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Those games can get long. Yeah. Those games can get long. That's the teams of the Sunday starter in college are the ones that roll through. Like, a good Sunday starter that can throw strikes.
It's a difference maker.
We always put Losey on Sunday for that reason. Like, you know what you're going to get. He was going to go seven.
It
might look like he was going to get bounced in the second, and somehow seven innings later he's walking off the mound. You're like, how did he just do that? He's a competitor, man. Competitor. So, obviously, you did what you need to do at Vanderbilt again. So, like, this is where, like, I've tried to tell people that have asked me about you. It's not like you haven't done what you needed to do. You've done what you needed to do in high school. You've done what you needed to do in college. The MLB draft is – I don't even know how to describe it to people. Like, it's such a different experience from anything you'll ever go through.
Right.
Like, I would like to think the NFL draft, and you can probably speak this because your dad is obviously in the NFL, but I feel like it is you take the best player and you move on. Like, there's no – you're not trying to move that money around. Like, whoever the best, the number one on your list right here, if he gets to you, you're taking it.
Right.
That's just not how the MLB draft works. It's insane. No.
I know. It's a crapshoot, dude. It's anything can happen during that hour, whatever it may be, bro. Watching three of them, we watched one in high – we did one together in high school, did one in college, obviously, and then this third one coming up, bro, like, never know what to expect. Anything can happen, whether it be you or some other kid, man. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And teams have this plan, too, bro. They got a big plan.
Right. Right. And I – like, obviously, I'm not asking you in any detail or anything, but – well, it was kind of some of the things you were feeling last year and kind of what built up after it.
Immediately after?
Yeah.
Dude. Oh, man.
Well, I mean, you went from, obviously, like, your dream is fulfilled.
Yes.
And then it's
not. Yeah. When someone – it's very rare when someone takes your dreams away like that. So when that deadline hit at 5:01 and, like, kind of the way we went about our business between me and the team was just kind of like, it was quiet. There wasn't a lot of conversation, didn't get a lot of information from them. It just snapped, gone like that. So from there, dude, I mean, I took it as a time period off, obviously. And then something flipped in my head, bro. It was like, I listened to that voice more and more and just doing things that I talk about and just doing them, just getting it done, getting the work in, whatever I can do. And, I just try to come out better from it, man. That's all I can do. But it was a long year, dude. I started waking up in December a little bit. So, like, through the fall, I was chilling. My boys weren't playing. No one was playing, really. But once people started playing, bro, I was bouncing off the wall. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? What is this? Where is this at?
Crazy. Yeah, you mentioned the deadline. Like, I imagine, like, in the back of your mind, like, you know things had stalled. But it was like, it's going to work out.
Like, yeah, yeah, you're like, hey, maybe they shoot me an offer or something like that. Nah, nowhere close.
So is it safe to assume that you will not be a New York Met after Monday of next week?
Nah, that's probably not going to happen.
Dude, with the trade that happened today for Drew Waters with the Braves getting a pick, I saw so many Braves fans on my timeline. They're like, I hope we get Kumar Rocker and he faces the Mets three times a year.
There is a frenzy for the draft, bro. What a frenzy.
It's crazy. Crazy. Yeah, I saw so many people saying that today. They made that deal for Kumar Rocker. I was like, yeah, you don't need to relax. Well, I'm interested to hear how the Indy Ball thing went. Well, first, before we get there, I wanted to say something. I was blown away with how, like you said, something, a switch flipped in your head. I was blown away with your mentality when I saw you in LA. And that was what? Two months after the draft, probably a month after the deadline. So, like, it sunk in for a month. Like, I didn't know how you'd be when you text me and stuff. Like, but you had a really, really good mentality, really good mindset. Like, was there something you did? Like, did you read a book, something that just kind of flipped it? Or was it just
– I just – like you said, bro, like, just – I mean, simply in this conversation, you're like, you do what you needed to do. And, like, for me, every day I'm covering the bases. I'm getting my work in, doing my after work in, post work in. Like, I've always told myself my work isn't going to be my downfall. Like, my work's never going to be a problem. So knowing that I put all my work in and I had things off the field settled, that was my biggest thing moving forward. I was like, I don't feel like I really missed anything with this one, but I'm in this position. I'm going to make the best out of it. Like, and I said to myself too, I was like, they gave me too much time, bro. Like, I'm going to get better. They gave me too much time. I knew there were some things I needed to clean up, which is also the blessing of it too, because I went through a whole season – pushed myself to 123 innings, wanted to see if I could handle it. I threw him sloppy for sure, but now moving forward, I'm on a 6-day rotation, 5-day rotation. My recovery is a little bit more detailed. I know what my body needs. I know where my body's at. I know how it transitions when it gets to 60 innings, 70 innings, what I need to do. So that's really was the mindset, was like, I'll get another crack at this, but we're going to come out a little bit better for sure, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what pissed me off about the whole thing. Like, you can live with something if you know. Like, for me in college, like I said, when I got to school, I did not earn a starting job. I was in the bullpen, and I could live with it because I didn't earn it. You earned it. Like, you did what you needed to do.
Yeah, I got to be realistic. Like,
and it didn't happen.
Covered. Exactly.
Like that was the most frustrating part for me as your friend, was just like, that's yeah. not right. Like he did everything he needed to do, and then this happens. It's not fair. But like we talked about down there, like there's a reason for it, and you said you've grown from it. Like everything,
yeah,
everything you've grown from, and so now I kind of want to talk about what went into you, obviously taking the indie ball route, and then rather than going back to Vanderbilt, and then what went into picking the indie ball team.
Going back to Vanderbilt, if I go back there, I want to lead another team. I want to throw another 120 innings, and that's just. It's not in my best interest personally. I had to look at that from a realistic standpoint. I'm not going to half-ass the season. That's not me. Exactly. That's not competitive spirit. So going to Indy Ball, man, I just they created a plan for me early when I started throwing out of surgery. Executed the plan. Had to go state to state. Get PT in. Get reps in with other hitters, live hitters. Did that all under the radar. Tried to keep people out of my business.
You did a heck of a job of it. Heck of a job. Man. I mean, I had no one heard from him. I saw people on Twitter all the time.
Yeah, dude. It was tough, man. It's hard with this generation, these cameras.
Impossible, man. I can't believe you did it.
Yeah. So I did that. Show up to Indy Ball, bro. And, man, that was a blessing in disguise. See, I was put on a great team, bro, with a great group of guys. A lot of guys from AA, AAA. Guys who have grinded, who face adversity, too. So learning from them, learning how just these – guys with 600,000 ABs hit, honestly, and how they take a pro approach to it. I'll never forget, I got in, I threw my first sim game to this team, and dude got in the box and just peppered me around the field. Every fastball through, peppered. First base, up the middle, third base. I said, oh, okay, we gotta lock it in one time, kid. We gotta jump on this. So, man, dude, it was fun, honestly. Cool little city, too, man.
So was it like a bidding war for you, or what?
Pretty much, Matt Boris set it all up, found the team. Pete Incanvilla is really close with some of the Boris people, and just a good, salty manager, bro. Veteran in the game, 12-year big league career. Gives advice to people, whether you like it or not, he's going to throw you out some advice.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned Scott. I take it that he was not happy last go around.
No, dude, he was upset. So it was good to see he was upset.
Yeah. Yeah, he fights for sure. I remember you told me that while we were in LA that he wanted you to have a press conference, tell everybody what happened. I was like, well, heck, we should have started this podcast. Then he could have came on here and told everybody. We would have blown up.
My head, Scott. No.
I bet he was wound up.
Yeah, dude, he was pissed off.
He is. He's a good dude. So how – you had it, like, obviously, I'm sure that, like, Matt and Scott, they talked to the guy before. They had your innings kind of mapped out. Like, this was the plan. And yes. Was everybody good with that? Like, teammates, everything? Like, they kind of understood what was going on?
Yeah, the teammates, for sure. I mean, they kind of know the deal when I was coming in. And no one was disrespectful in a way or gave me any lip or whatever. It was just a good group of guys where they understood the deal. And I tried to fit into the clubhouse blend as best as I could, honestly. But, man, going five innings in my last start and, like, getting a win for the team, I was like, all right, cool. Now I feel more a part of the team for sure. Yeah. First, it was a little just for yourself, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you talk about blending in a locker room, and we discussed that on here. As baseball guys, like, we're all the same deep down. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you can throw a baseball guy in any locker room, and they're going to be boys by, a month in.
Exactly.
That's just how it works. Probably quicker than that, honestly.
Yeah.
Actually, definitely quicker than that, because I played on some teams for a week or two.
It's my boy.
Yeah, yeah. That's just how it works, man. So that is one of my favorite parts about, college summer ball was not that fun, but that part of it was fun. Like, you meet so many different guys from so many different, like, different conferences, different types of ball, and they all come together. Like, and you talked about, you were AA, AAA guys. I'm sure you learned a lot, like you said, just talking to them because these guys are coming from all over the place, and they have so many different experiences.
That was my first time being with Latin players too, Dominicans. Just the music going around the locker room, getting exposed to that stuff, learning their language, bro. That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. They never run out of energy. I don't know where they get it from, but
they play the game so different. But they play it as a true game, bro.
They do. They love it.
Yeah,
100%. They do love it. Yeah, it's so where I'm at now, where I'm rehabbing, like. Once spring training is done, they bring in the young kids. So like a lot of most of the guys that are at spring training, like Latins, Americans, whatever, like they're pretty mature guys. Like they're guys who have played. They know the ropes. They get their work done. Well, then you see the young kids come in, and it's kind of their training. And like even the managers like flip a switch where it kind of turns into more college atmosphere, like scheduled, like you need to be here. Like they're trying to train them. It was pretty cool to see though. It was my first experience to see that. And like even like. Since I've been here, I've seen you talk about the music. Like they used to blare music in the showers all day. Like that goes down every week. It's like they're figuring out, like, all right, like I need to grow up a little bit.
Uh huh. 100%.
Which is pretty cool. Which is pretty cool to see. Obviously, what did you say?
I said that was also part about college, where you get in there and you see the freshmen come in, and then you see them pitch their sophomore year, and you see the growth, man. You see that
so much growth. You never grow more as a baseball player from your freshman to sophomore year. Yeah. It's like two different players. And like yours flipped. Obviously, y'all had a good season and went deep. Like yours flipped towards the end of the year because it went so deep, which is nice. That's a nice time for it to flip.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think flipped there?
For me or the team?
For you. Yeah, I mean, y'all were nasty up here.
Yeah, at the end of that freshman year, after the no hitter, I had the confidence. Confidence was through the roof, man. Yeah. I was like, we're gonna finish this off right.
Well, I know you had a pretty good outing in Hoover too. Like you were starting to put it together, and it was like,
yeah, that's 100%.
My stuff started to get good.
A lot of hit and miss started happening. So I was
yeah. That's I don't know what it is, but I guess just as a calmness or. Mm-hmm. I don't even know, but you just feel it, and it's just way better. Like your heart's not beating as fast, and you're kind of settled in.
Yes,
that first outing, dude, I thought I was about to fall over. I really did. Like I could feel myself shaking. I'm not one to get nervous really ever, but dude, my heart was beating. I just remember like I'm gonna throw this thing as hard as I can every time. I don't care where it goes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you settle in pretty quick. So, going into round three of the draft, what? You know what to expect, at least. I mean,
yeah,
shouldn't be any surprises. Never know. But right. you kind of just come in, like, appreciative to be back here. Like, it's all over. Like, I can finally put what happened last year behind me, and I can just move forward this year.
Yeah. I mean, you just said it best right there, dude. I mean, even these last couple of days of being removed from New York and finishing those innings, it's stress off your shoulders, the relief. Man, it's a different – and I get to step back and see how far I've came mentally. And
yeah. As a person,
you know? That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Will you just kind of be working out, doing some body things leading up to it?
Bro, trying to stay fresh. Yeah, trying to get better, man.
Yeah. Yeah, because the draft is so late now, which is kind of nuts because there's hardly any time to pitch after this.
No.
Like you got – I was just counting it up. I mean, a full season starter, I looked on the schedule the other day, they probably have 6 starts left.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one downside, I guess, to the draft being pushed back.
All these leagues too, man. Like all these draft leagues, combines.
Yeah. Stuff.
Like just enough time right before the draft. It's super, super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one aspect I didn't think about till last year, and the guys all got here at like I don't know, like middle of August, and I was like, there's no time to even play. Like there was like 2 guys that got sent to an actual team because there was no time.
Yeah, bro.
But. Obviously, like we talked about, you know what to expect. You're going into it, and it's not like anything you've ever been through. You haven't been through the MLB draft, but would this be the least nervous you've been going into one?
100%.
Yeah.
This is just a least draft year, draft season, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting, bro. I mean, you're my second draft. I'm like, man, what if I had a chance to do this over again? Look at this, you know, it's cool. It's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, happy for you.
Appreciate you. How have you liked pro ball, bro? Have you done any innings yet?
Well, I threw about 50 last year. I threw about 50 in Charleston. It went by so quick, dude, that like it was fun. Like I was legitimately enjoying myself. Like it's so different than college. Like it's nothing. Like you don't show up to the field till 2-3,
yeah.
And you kind of just do your own thing. Like they got posted when the pitchers go throw. It's whatever you want to do that day. You know, if you want to work out, go work out. So it's different. Like and you have to be disciplined, which you are, and you have to develop a routine where it's best for me if I write it out. Like, if I write it out, I do it, I check it off, and I go. Because you get caught up. Like, guys are playing cards in the locker room. You want to hang out, like we talked about. Like, with all your boys in there. You got to make sure you get stuff done. I would say the biggest thing I learned from last year is that aspect. Like, I don't know if I put enough into, like, the prehab, you know, getting loose, doing all that stuff throughout the week. Like, it was and it was the first time in my life where I hadn't bounced back right after I pitched. Like, usually I would pitch, be fine within 2 days. And, like, I was clearly injured. I was kind of battling some things. Like, but I guess it never struck me because I was pitching so well. Like, I had no reason to stop and be like, man, I might be hurt. So, and I would say one thing that I really, like, the biggest thing that I will never do again is I threw way too much the offseason coming in. Like, I probably faced hitters 3 or 4 times before I got to spring training. But spring training is so, like, they don't care. Like, come in, warm up. Like, you'll have a couple bullpens. You'll do live BPs, face hitters. But they're just trying to build you up. Like, when I figured that out, it was like, all right, I don't have to come in here and be, you know, a Hall of Fame pitcher in spring training. It doesn't do anything. Like, I was long tossing 3 times a week. Like, I was just doing way too much. But at the same time, like, I just got traded. Like, I wanted to make an impression, you know? Like, I wanted to come in, make an impression. So that would be the biggest thing I tell people is just, you know, have a written out plan, and then don't kill yourself in the off season. Like, obviously, like, lifting and stuff, you can get after it. But throwing wise, you have so much time to throw. Like, you're gonna be throwing all year, you know?
Yeah. Don't do anything to set yourself back.
No, there's no reason to come in at 100% the first outing of spring training.
Yes.
Once I saw guys that had been there, you know, they were just kind of throwing the bullpen at 75%, and I was like, okay, like, this is a little bit different. Like, I did way too much. But you probably got a pretty good taste of that rolling into indie ball too. Like,
I got a quick taste of it, bro. Like you said, showing field late, yada yada yada. That was very new and very nice, bro. Get your work in and get out. I love it.
Yeah. And it's cool. Like, you hear all the time about how people are kind of, like, it's a competition in the minor leagues, in which it is, but you don't feel it. Like, when you're on a team, you don't feel it at all. Like, you turn into a team, like you said, and you start pulling for the guys that are pitching out there. And, like, I had Taj on my team in Charleston, and I just sat back and, like, marveled at what Taj was doing. Like, his stuff was just nasty. And so it's fun to see when people click like that, because Taj was a young kid and then he clicked and it was like, whoa, this dude is a big leaguer. And you appreciate watching talented pitchers go. So I never felt like it was a competition. I thought that was kind of a myth of the whole thing.
I feel you.
But like we said, man, we're pumped for you. Obviously, I'm pumped for you. I'll be watching on Monday. Best of luck to you. Hope you're Ray. That'd be sick.
Man, that'd be dope,
Ray. That would be sick. But yeah, man, best of luck. Glad you're feeling good, getting in a good piece of or a good frame of mind heading into it.
Man, appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Thanks for swinging back.
I've been waiting, man.
Heck yeah. Yeah, you said I'll come on in July. And I was like, all right, yeah, yeah. Then you text me, like, all right, let's do it. I was like, heck yeah, let's do it. But yeah, we'll have to have you on again sometime, maybe this off season. If you get some pro innings under your belt.
More to talk about.
For sure. All right, brother. Well, have a good one. And like I said, best of luck.
Got you, brother. I'll see you.
See ya.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.